couple of leftovers from that win over Washington, a look ahead, and maybe some positive news ahead. And the Atlanta Hawks make me appreciate the Boston Celtics just a little bit more on this Tuesday Locked On Celtics. Milk. Let's go. Rainy days back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making the show part of your daily routine, whatever it is that you're doing and wherever you're going. Thank you for making the show just a tiny bit, a tiny part of your life. I hope that I get to brighten that up just a tiny little bit. I'm John Corrales. I host the show Monday through Friday. If you're new to the podcast, that's what you're going to get, a Monday through Friday daily podcast. I cover the Boston Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. Go ahead and subscribe. Use the promo code Corrales. You're going to get a few bucks off, $5 off the annual subscription. So that works out to be less than $3 a month to read my stuff. And on Tuesday, a big breakdown of Kemba Walker and the nuance behind some of the passes that he made. Three plays in that game that kind of show you the little tiny, tiny things that he did to get his guys open, clean looks. Just an interesting, I think, look at what it takes. And also, I have a book, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars. You can get that anywhere you get your books online. Coming up in the third segment, the Atlanta Hawks fired Lloyd Pierce. And I want to just take a few minutes there to appreciate what the Celtics' approach is. And I know this runs counter to what a lot of people might be thinking, what you might be thinking about Brad Stevens. But I'm going to tell you why in the third segment, why the Celtics' approach, why I like it. In the second segment, we're getting a little bit of a look. Daniel Tice kind of told us after the Washington win, just say, you know, Romeo Langford's pretty close to being back. Marcus Smart's pretty close to being back. I'm just going to take a look at this situation after everything, and just really look ahead, and I don't know, might not be as bad as we thought it was a week ago. But first, a couple of questions popped up, and some leftovers from the Washington Wizards game. A couple of these come from Claude Dean, who hit me up on my Contact Me section on johncorrales.com. That's a great way to contact me. I try to respond. I don't always get to respond to everybody, but if you want to send me a question, a comment, or whatever, you can do that, and I can include those in the podcast from time to time. On a day like this where there wasn't any news, the Celtics were off, and so they're just not a ton to talk about. But the first thing she asked, and it's a question that I've been asked a few times on Twitter and everywhere else, why do you think Aaron Nesmith got benched again and seemingly out of the blue? And I think when it comes to Aaron Nesmith, so he didn't play, but then he had been getting minutes up until then, right? So he'd been averaging like something like 18, 20 minutes a game, and that followed a stretch of DNPs, right? So it's a little frustrating, I think. It's probably a little frustrating for him because he's sitting there expecting to get some run. But at the same time, it's frustrating, I think, for some fans who might be saying like, hey, you know, we want to see this kid. What can he do? I don't want to make too big of a deal of like, hey, in that Indy game, he didn't play much. Even prior to that, in the loss to Atlanta, he didn't play a ton, but he scored a bunch. He hit a bunch of shots, and that was in the blowout portion, the end of the game where the Celtics really came back and made it a little tighter. So he shows his promise here and there. I guess the best explanation I can have is that he's just going to have an up and down portion of the season. Like, this is just going to be an up and down part of the season. And Brad Stevens, instead of giving those minutes to Neesmith, decided to go with Javonte Green. And Claudine asks, why did you leave Javonte Green out of the good segment of your podcast? I thought he did a great job doing his job. And that is correct. I only have like, I'm supposed to do like these shows supposed to be like half an hour. You know, I've been pushing them out to like 40 minutes. And so sometimes I find myself talking and I'm like, okay, moving on. And I overlook a couple of things. I thought Javonte Green did a good job. I thought one thing Javonte Green did really well was cut. There were two, maybe three plays where Kemba Walker drove baseline and just kind of dribbled along the baseline. Kind of, you know, the Steve Nash, like you probe, you there's nothing there, you just keep on dribbling. And what Javonte Green did was just kind of cut off of that behind everyone who started paying attention to Kemba, and he got a couple of baskets out of that. And so if you watch for the highlights, if you go to like the NBA.com box score and you click on the numbers, you can see, like, if you click on the four that's in blue on NBA.com, it'll take you to a video page of all of his four made baskets. If you click on the five field goal attempts, it'll show you his five field goal attempts. You get it. Two rebounds, it'll show you his two rebounds. Anything in blue, you'll get to see all of video of those things. So you'll watch Kemba drive from like the right side, and Javonte's in the left corner, and Kemba kind of probes to see if there's a lane for him to get, you know, to the rim. And if not, he just keeps on going. And as he's dribbling towards Javonte cuts. And you can see, once he went behind Davis Bertans, and Bertans kind of saw it, like he turned to see if Javonte was in the corner, and then realized, oh crap, and then Javonte had gotten the pass. It's a good timing play. And a lot of times a player, when he's driving that side of the baseline, will kind of hook a pass to a guy in the corner if he's open. It kind of is a read on where that defender is. How is that defender playing that drive, and how is that defender reacting to the guy driving baseline? So how would he be reacting to Kemba Walker? Is he sucking in? Is he trying to cut off? And is he facing Kemba? A lot of this, and you'll see in the breakdown that I did on Boston Sports Journal, when it publishes on Tuesday morning, a lot of this is reading body positioning of the defender. So on that play, if Davis Bertans is facing Kemba Walker, kind of almost as if he was like lining up for a free throw, like facing in that direction, then Javonte's move is to stay in the corner so Kemba could just kind of like reach around and whip a pass past Bertans, kind of like almost from out of bounds, so Javonte can catch the ball and either shoot the three or drive the closeout. But because Bertans was kind of parallel with the baseline, like facing the end line out of bounds towards those banners, the move was to cut, because what Bertans is doing is he's still kind of leaving himself in position to go and close out so he can just kind of slide on over there. When that defender loses sight, as an offensive player, as Javonte Green, when you see Bertans kind of turn his head and kind of lose sight of you, that's when you make your cut. And that's when that gives that split second and a half. So the Celtics have not been a good cutting team. They do not cut well. They do not move well without the ball. And I think with Kemba out there doing what he's doing, that might increase some of the cutting, because Kemba's moving a lot. He's getting guys out of position. He's dribbling. He's penetrating. And that's getting guys to kind of move along with him. Let's face it. The fact is that Kemba, as the point guard, is very necessary for the Celtics, because the one thing that he can do really well is get past the initial point of attack. So even if he's bottled up, even if he's like double teamed, blitzed, then he can give it up. And that just kind of gets another Celtic past that initial point of attack. But he's generally good at turning a corner. And that's something that Marcus Smart just doesn't do as well. Marcus Smart can run a pick and roll, but Marcus isn't going to blow by guys at the top of the key. And so that doesn't create the same ripple effect, the same chain of events that Kemba gets. So with Kemba making those moves and defenses reacting, that's when you start to get a little bit more of the cutting. So I think we might see an increase in some of the cutting. Javonte did a good job. He did a good job there, made some nice plays in this game, was generally just good filling that role as a starter. So, Claudine, you're right. I should have mentioned Javonte yesterday, kind of overlooked him. And so, giving him his due here. And then the final point here is a question about the minutes. Can you ask Brad if he's considering playing the Jays less minutes in the second half, in case they do end up wanting to make a run in the playoffs? So Brad Stevens gets minutes questions all the time. And before the game, he was kind of asked something similar where he said, quote, "We're going to do pretty much what we've done with regards to minutes. I'm not going to overdo Kemba's. Jason's been our highest minutes player, and I don't want to have that go as high as we've gone. But obviously there's a challenge with that, when one of those guys is out." And so Jalen was out last night or Sunday night. And so, yeah. So what did Jason Tatum play? 38 plus minutes, almost 39 minutes. That's a lot. And you don't want Jason Tatum to be playing that many minutes, but you're banking on Jason Tatum being the 22 still, not quite 23. You got to pare that down a little bit. I think that's going to be a little bit of an emphasis. I don't think that he's just going to say minutes restriction, 34 minutes. But when you look at what Jason Tatum has been at over the course of his career, I don't think that Brad Stevens has overused him. I mean, this is the first time that he's up over 35 minutes. And a lot of that has come lately. His from his rookie year, moving up 30 and a half, 30, 31, 34.3, and this year 35.6 minutes per game. And over the past week or so, he's definitely bumped up into the 38s or something like that. That's kind of where Brad Stevens wants to keep it. 35 is good. I think he might try to keep it back down that way. Now, that is going to be possible because of the Celtics hope some health, some increased health. And that's going to be part of what I talk about next. The outlook moving forward is not so bad. Don't let the stress of daily life weigh you down. Don't let it get your body out of whack. Now, we know that these elite athletes that we're watching get a lot of great care. And some of us, you don't have to be a Boston Celtic, are out there running and doing a lot of stuff. But also, some of us are sitting here. I sit in my chair a ton. And it's one of the concerns that I have. Like, I've got to make sure I get up and move around. And to have something like a Theragun, which is a handheld percussive therapy device, is really helpful because it releases that tension, that deep muscle tension. You might have seen guys using something like this. It's the Theragun just kind of uses that percussive therapy to get really deep. It uses a specifically calibrated combo of depth, speed, power, and it's quiet. It's like an electric toothbrush. So it can really get deep into your muscles. And the Gen 4 Theragun doesn't just feel good. It really gets to the source of the pain because it releases a lot of that tension. They have a signature percussive therapy which goes 60% deeper, 60% deeper than just the vibration. So if you want to get that post-workout therapy, if you're trying to recover from an injury or just the stress of everyday life, there's really no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4. They have an OLED screen that's easy to see, easy to read, and its design makes it feel like you're holding something from like the future. This kind of futuristic device that's going to help you feel better. So just go to their site, check it out, and Theragun app learns from your behaviors and actually suggests guided routines. Try Theragun for 30 days, starting at only $199. Go to Theragun.com/lockedon right now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's Theragun.com/lockedon. Theragun.com/lockedon. It's been windy. It's been rainy. It's been snowy around here in New England. The weather is kind of nuts, which means you're using your wipers a lot. Your floor mats are getting just destroyed. You can get simple things like that at rockauto.com. You can also get something much more complicated that I have no idea about, but you probably know about because I know plenty of my friends that like to get under the hood, especially some of the older cars, the classic cars, and really dig in there. You can go to rockauto.com and find anything you need. Doesn't matter if you want to repair, maintain your cars, or get those simple things, like I said, the wipers or the floor mats, headlamps, anything like that. Don't go to a chain store because those places are going to have a different price tier for the professionals versus the do-it-yourselfers, which I don't think makes sense, but they do it. And Rock Auto does not. Rock Auto also does not change their prices based on what the market will bear, like an airline ticket. I don't understand how that makes sense. And neither does rockauto.com, frankly. They don't do it. No membership, no login, nothing special like that. It's very, very simple. They're a simple family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to rockauto.com, shop for all the auto parts that you need for your car or truck from hundreds of manufacturers. The catalog is easy to navigate. It's very unique. You can see all the parts for your car. Very simple. When you buy something at rockauto.com, make sure you write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. It's an amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com.
Be sure to follow our social channels, LO Celtics on Twitter and Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
Today on the Locked On Today podcast, with players fleeing the Houston Texans, what NFL team will be the worst to play for in 2021? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. The Toronto Raptors are dealing with a COVID outbreak. The NBA is bending over backwards. They are trying like hell to get these games in. They do not want to carry any games into the second half of the season. The second half schedule is already crammed, and they do not, under any circumstances, want to carry games and reschedule. But they may not have much choice. Their game against the Pistons was supposed to be a Tuesday game, just like the Celtics. Tuesday game, Wednesday travel day, Thursday Celtics, All-Star break. They have now postponed the Tuesday game. They've tentatively scheduled it for Wednesday. If they don't play that game, then they just come to Boston, theoretically, for Thursday, if they play that at all. If they do play on Wednesday, that means the Raptors are going to play a Tampa Bay to Boston back-to-back. That Florida-Boston back-to-back is a killer. It's brutal. And if the Celtics have to play the Raptors after the Raptors do that, after playing the Pistons, then it bodes well for the Celtics. The Raptors are currently tied with the Celtics. They're all 17-17. So standings-wise, this would be a good game, a big game for the Celtics. Now, on Monday, the Sixers and Nets both won. The Milwaukee Bucks were off. So the standings going into Tuesday night's game with the LA Clippers, the Celtics are 17-17. They are 5.5 games out of first. Brooklyn is a half game behind Philly, both with 23 wins. The Nets just have one more loss. The Milwaukee Bucks are a game behind Brooklyn with two fewer wins, and the Saints, they're tied in the loss column. The New York Knicks, inexplicably, are the fourth seed. But what we're seeing here is the tiers are starting to separate kind of how we thought. Like, it's some tweaking in the middle, but Philly, Brooklyn, Milwaukee was always the top tier. That was always going to be the top tier of the East. So I never thought, and I don't know if you did, but I think I'm pretty consistent in saying that the top tier of the East was Philly, Brooklyn, Milwaukee. And I said that about Brooklyn before they got Harden. And then Boston was in that tier below. And if things went well, then they could ascend to that top tier. If, and they still could, if that traded player exception becomes a meaningful player and the Celtics stay healthy moving forward, and you've got Kemba, Jalen, Jason, Marcus Smart, TPE guy that's a meaningful player, not like, and I don't mean like Terrence Ross. I mean like somebody that can do a lot, maybe more like Harrison Barnes. The Celtics could be knocking on the door, or at least it could go Philly, Brooklyn as one tier, Milwaukee, Boston as a second tier, and then a third tier of Miami, Toronto, and the rest. So that still is shaking itself out. Why do I have this feeling? Why am I still positive? Are you saying, John, they just won two games? What the hell, man? Why are you still so, you know, optimistic? And it's not that I think they can. I'm not that I think they will, but I do think that they can. I don't know if they will. I don't like saying that they will. And this is the difference. And I don't know if people hear me all the time. I think of what's capable. What are they capable of? Can they do something? Yes, they can. Will they? I don't know. It depends on a lot of things. But when I'm talking about these things, and when people say, oh, you're green teamer or any of that stuff, people get on me for being optimistic. First of all, the only thing that I'm looking at is what's happening on the floor. What's really the cause of this? There's a Twitter account and a website, Man Games Lost NBA. They recently tweeted, they have a formula, which is lost win shares due to injured players. It's not perfect, but it's a thing. And they list their... They did this maybe a week ago. There's no new number after this. Just so they tweeted out, top five wins lost due to injured players. Portland, Clippers, Miami, Boston, Chicago. Boston's lost wins are just under four. So Portland's at 4.2, Clippers at 4.16, Miami 3.89, Boston 3.83, Chicago 3.71. You tack on three or four more wins, and let's say three, and all of a sudden the Celtics are at 20 and 14, and they are in that tier with the Milwaukee Bucks. Again, not an exact science, not saying they would have won those games, but when you look at the best statistics that we have available, it's possible the Celtics lost out on three or four wins. If you go four wins, that's 21 and 13, which is the Milwaukee Bucks record. So at complete health, that's what the Celtics could have been via this statistic. Admittedly, it's not a perfect thing. It's not an exact science. It is, though, an indication that the Celtics could be better than they are. And a lot of these things that they have been facing are things that could factor into them being better in the second half. With Marcus Smart coming back, with Romeo Langford coming back, however that shakes out with Nesmith and whomever, like, does Javonte get those minutes, or does it make it so a couple of guys end up getting traded in some sort of consolidation thing, and Danny Ainge doesn't use the TPE? Maybe he just packages some of these other guys in a deal that works for some scoring help off the bench, and you just tinker a little bit. and you upgrade with a couple of guys and you get, maybe it is a Terrence Ross. And maybe you say, all right, let's just roll with Smart, Kemba, Jalen, Jason, and I don't know, Daniel Tice. And eventually you shake out which one of these guys, maybe Tristan Thompson becomes more situational. You get a little bit more Robert Williams in there. You get a little bit more help off the bench with a trade. You consolidate some of that. Romeo Langford becomes, even if he's just what Romeo Langford was last year, a decent defender who can attack a closeout, maybe hit a shot or two. Again, does this make Boston a competitor against Philly and Brooklyn? No, they would be favored. Philly and Brooklyn would be favored over the Celtics in that series, but it does push the Celtics closer to the top of that second tier or into a separate tier with the Milwaukee Bucks. It's possible. They can do that. Will they? I don't know. But I can see Tatum and Brown's minutes reducing a little bit with some more help coming back. With Kemba playing a little bit more, playing that, what did he play in this last game? Was it 34 minutes? 32, 33. With Kemba playing in that 33, 32 minutes, 32 to 34, you deal with him not playing in certain back-to-backs. Okay, that's going to be an issue. But my point is, the worst of what we saw the Celtics go through might be the worst the Celtics go through all season. I don't think that they were as bad a team as they'd shown. I don't think that that's who the Celtics are moving forward. And I think the Celtics can be a good basketball team moving forward. Now the next question is it worth Danny Ainge spending capital in season this season to challenge Brooklyn and to challenge Philly? Is it worth it for that? We've got basically 23 days to answer that question. And that depends on who becomes available. It depends on what the cost is. And it depends on what the projection really looks like. Like, maybe Brooklyn is just off to such an amazing path. Like, they're even starting to play some okay defense. Like, situationally, if they can get a stop, they don't have to get stops all game. They don't have to be, you know, the 08 Celtics with, you know, KG and Perk. And like, they don't have to be that kind of defensive team. They don't even have to be a good defensive team. They just have to be an okay defensive team with all of that offense. They just got to get a couple of stops here and there. And they can actually be pretty good and get themselves to the finals. So Danny Ainge has to wonder, like, is the player, whoever that is that player going to get us past these teams? Is that player going to put us into a tax situation that hurts us in, you know, the next 2-3 years? If they don't pay the tax this year, then that resets the repeater tax. That does matter. I hate to tell you, that does matter for the Celtics. They'll pay the tax for a contender, but if Danny Ainge can't look Wick Grosbeck in the eye and say, getting player X definitely gets us into that NBA Finals mix, then Wick's probably going to be like, well, is there anything else we can do? Can we push it to the summer? Because if you push it to the summer, then you reset that repeater tax clock, and then that tax, that same player, if you can get them in the summer, costs exponentially less. There's a lot of things to consider here. But regardless, I think the Celtics are going to show market improvement. Now, if they can get past the Clippers and this Toronto thing pans out, and they win 4 in a row getting into the break, that would be amazing. I think a lot of attitudes change. Even if they lose to the Clippers, so long as they put up a good fight and they beat Toronto 3-1 over that four-game stretch, they'll take it. They'll totally take it. Go into the break basically at 500 when from the Knicks down to the Charlotte Hornets, there's what, one game separating everybody. You expand that out to Indy and Chicago, there's two games separating everybody. It's wild. It's wild. Unbelievable. All right. That's my kind of outlook. Up next, Lloyd Pierce was fired, and I just makes me appreciate how the Celtics handle their coaching things. And that's another thing that I know people have been kind of upset about, but I still think that the way the Celtics are handling it is the right way to handle it. BetOnline is the fastest, easiest way to bet on your sports action. I would not have bet on Lloyd Pierce being the next coach fired. I'm sure if I had looked on betonline.ag, I would have found the odds of the next coach to be fired. But I would have put it on Luke Walton before I put it on Lloyd Pierce. But anyway, you can bet on that. You can bet on college basketball, which is about to head into the tournament soon. NHL is in full swing. NBA, obviously, and in-game betting in the NBA. You can bet like second half scoring and all kinds of crazy stuff. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, reality. You could have bet on the Golden Globes. There are real-time updated odds, props, and almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for everything, news, scores, odds. It is the best place to place your bets. It's free to sign up, and if you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you're going to get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. It is free money. Whatever you deposit, $100, it's a $50 welcome bonus. $200, $100 welcome bonus. You get it? I'm not going to do any more complicated math than that. That's about the extent of my math. Just go to betonline.ag, whether you are on your website, on a website or a mobile device, sign up, use the promo code LOCKEDON for that 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Please gamble responsibly.
Make sure you're subscribed to Locked On Celtics wherever you get podcasts or follow us on Spotify.
How much do you really know about the potential NBA stars of tomorrow, like Cade Cunningham or Evan Mobley or Jalen Suggs? If you want to know more, then you need to subscribe to the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast. Prospects, scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, full coverage of March Madness, 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow Locked On NBA Draft. On Monday, the Atlanta Hawks fired Lloyd Pierce. And now Trae Young, who is in his third year, gets his second head coach. And as an aside, I don't know what's going on in that locker room. We know, like, Nate McMillan, who was let go from Indiana, signs on there as an associate head coach. So it was pretty clear from the beginning of the season, Lloyd, you have to do a good job here. This team, we're expecting something from this team. And he didn't deliver and he got fired. Now, a lot of people will sit there and see, like, that's how you're supposed to do it. He doesn't deliver, he gets fired. Brad Stevens hasn't been delivering this season, he should get fired. Plenty of people have been saying that. Now, luckily, as I learned from the voicemail section of the podcast last week, I thought a lot more people would be screaming for Brad Stevens' head, but I guess listeners of the podcast are more level-headed, which I love. Maybe you're just listening to me trying to be level-headed, and it's kind of catching on. I love that. But there are still people on the outside. I think a lot of it is sports radio driven, for sure. I think, and I wrote this on Boston Sports Journal, that sports radio is like the Dow, where people look at it as an indicator of how things are going. Like, people look at the Dow Jones and say, well, that's what the economy is doing. Well, it's an indicator, sure, but it's not really, with all of the wild speculation and overreactions, the Dow doesn't exactly reflect what the economy is doing. You know, it flies up and down for reasons outside of actual health of our economy. Just like sports talk radio, with overreactions, really does not capture the overall health of a team like the Boston Celtics. Especially when the guys who are on sports talk radio, generally speaking, I'm painting with a broad brush, but most of those guys don't watch every game. Most of those guys, what they do is they look at the team, they say, oh God, they're not doing well. Look at the standings. They say, oh, why are the Celtics not doing well? I thought they were supposed to be good. Let me watch that game tonight. And it was like a game last week where they sucked. They absolutely sucked. And people say, is that how they're playing this year? Oh my God. Well, I mean, that's got to be Brad Stevens' fault, because they were good. And this is them filling in blanks. And I have my theory is that the human brain does not like blanks. We as human beings cannot accept anything being blank. Anything unexplained, we fill in with our own information. We can't just say, huh, I don't know what that is. People say, well, it must be. Whenever you hear that phrase, it must be, that's the human brain saying, I don't have a clue, but I'm gonna take this leap because it makes sense to me. The problem is, once it makes sense to that person and they make that leap, it's hard to unmake that leap. So, sports talk guy says, huh, well, the record's not good. Team's still pretty good. They still got these guys. Well, what is usually the case? It must be Brad Stevens. And thus, you get a lot of, yep, well, time to fire the coach. Because that's what happens in sports. Underachieving team's not doing well. You do what Atlanta did, you fire the coach. Doesn't take everything into account, though. Now, whether I can save the Lloyd Pierce conversation for Locked On NBA, which I'm sure the guys on the Tuesday show will talk about it some. Maybe we'll talk about it when Jake Madison, who hosts Locked On Pelicans, Jake and I host the Wednesday Locked On NBA. I'm sure we can maybe continue that conversation a little bit. But I look at the coaching. Again, Trae Young, second head coach now. Is Nate McMillan, is he the long-term guy? Is he going to be the guy? How long is he going to have in Atlanta? You look at somebody like Karl-Anthony Towns. Now, granted, there is maybe there is definitely the added element of the unfortunate passing of Flip Saunders, and you don't know how long he would have stuck around. But you can tell from the way the team has responded, Karl-Anthony Towns in his sixth season is his fourth head coach. That's four different, now he came in after Flip Saunders. It's four different strategies, four different approaches, four different voices, four different ways that they handle themselves with, you know, shoot-arounds and practices and, you know, team playing, anything. Film sessions are different. You got to get used to the way the guy talks. The way they treat players is different. Brad Stevens was hired in the 2013-14 season. And 38 different guys have become head coaches since Brad Stevens was hired in the NBA. And this does not count coaching changes like Thibodeau or Scott Brooks or Frank Vogel. 38 different guys have come in and become head coaches since Brad Stevens was named coach of the Celtics. How many coaches has Jason Tatum had? One. How many coaches has Jaylen Brown had? One. Marcus Smart, one. These guys have all known Brad Stevens. It's all they know. And maybe someday we can say, maybe he's tuned them. Maybe they've tuned him out. Maybe. Maybe not. Because you look at some of the guys that have had long runs. Obviously, Eric Spoelstra. He's had 13 seasons in Miami. Did they tune him out? No. And they have, you know, Rick Carlisle. obviously Greg Popovich, but I feel like Pop is just a different animal. But even him with his, you know, fiery kind of attitude and all of that, these guys have had long runs and they're still getting through to their team. Now, it's, I don't know what's going to happen with Brad Stevens moving forward, but I'll tell you what, the consistency, I think, helps Jason Tatum. I think it helps Jaylen Brown. I think the development, there's not a big coaching carousel on the assistant side. I think they've had a pretty steady flow. A few guys have gone off and made, you know, pursued head coaching, like college opportunities, but it's generally been a pretty consistent coaching staff. The message is pretty consistent. And, you know, you hear Jaylen Brown say this season, I trust this coaching staff. I trust this team to do the right thing. These guys just signed these long extensions, committing to be here for 4 or 5 years. That's, I think, an important thing. And as they continue to progress, I do think that the consistent voice helps, because you're not asking a young player who is in the midst of his development to suddenly change how he plays. Look, it's not that they don't benefit from some variation, but that's part of the development between these guys. It's not to say that because Brad Stevens is the long-term coach, has been their only coach, that Jason Tatum only plays one way. You can evolve that as well by watching and learning and getting the different players together, having these different players. And as Jason Tatum gets better, say, hey, you know what? You're now being more of a ball handler. You're initiating the offense a little bit more. That's new. There are things that he can do. Maybe you, like, they are potentially looking to get him in that post. They went to a mid post at the end of that game as a fallback. Like when Tatum got the ball against Beal, that was when all else fails, get it to Tatum in the mid post and you work. And he did. So the Celtics know as players grow, hey, we can use these guys in these different ways. I think the consistent voice and a lack of overreaction has been good. And I think that's just good in general for the Celtics. Good in general for a sports team. When you find guys that you like, when you find guys who have done well, you don't just say, oh, you made a mistake, you're out. Like, yeah, Danny Ainge hasn't been perfect. He's had some misses, but he's had a lot of hits. You know? He's had a lot of hits. Zach Lowe in the Low Post was talking about this. Like, one of the knocks was the drafting. Drafting Jaylen Brown at number 3 was not like a consensus pick. Like, everybody thought, boy, that's a guy who's going to win. Like, that wasn't a guaranteed win. The Celtics had the number 1 pick, and they traded down to number 3 and got Tatum. When everybody was saying that Markelle Fultz was the guaranteed lock number 1 pick, absolutely take him. To trade down and get another asset out of that and get Jason Tatum, knowing that Philly was going for Fultz and knowing that Lonzo Ball was going number 2 to the Lakers, and saying, Tatum's my guy, but I'm going to make it so I get Tatum and somebody else. Like, that's a big win. That's a big win for Danny Ainge. He's had a lot of wins. He's had some losses. That's how GMs work. And not overreacting to the losses and not overreacting to the wins. Just stay consistent. So I just appreciate the Celtics sticking with something that works. And some people I know will disagree that it works, but I think that it's worked. I think they've done a good job. And when you look at the Celtics pulling out of this tailspin, and if they hopefully, for the Celtics, win one or two of these next couple of games, that's, I hope the people that were screaming for Brad Stevens to be fired give him some of the credit for keeping that team together or helping keep that team together, because they hit a low point. And now it seems like possibly, maybe, that they are trending upwards. If they're trending upwards, if it was the coach's fault before, then you better be giving him credit moving forward. And watching teams left and right fire guys midseason, it just makes me appreciate that the Celtics stick with these guys and give them a fair shot to do their jobs when they've been doing them well. Next podcast is coming up after the Clippers game, so make sure you're subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast. If you are not, you can get it anywhere. Podcasts are available, Spotify, everywhere. Regular listeners, you know I love you. Thank you for sticking with me. Some of you listen 5 days a week, which is awesome. I would love that if more people listen 5 days a week. That's how often you're going to get this podcast Monday through Friday. So a 5-star rating and a good written review would be awesome. Sharing the podcast would be better. Tell your friends that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Thank you for making Locked On Celtics the number one Boston Celtics podcast on the planet.